Join Pastor George Izunwa on a journey of genuine God encounters through the Word of God. Through the teachings of Pastor George Izunwa, you will gain knowledge on how to triumph over challenges and transform them into testimonies. For more information and testimonies, contact us at 0702-5000-950 or 0702-5000-951. Experience the power of God's Word. Jesus exceeds expectations.
Today we are looking at success myths, and everyone wants to succeed. Success is actually very simple to define. It's whatever you are pursuing, you're getting the result you are expecting. That's success. Having your positive expected end. That's success. And success is our kingdom inheritance. It's abnormal for a child of God to fail. You are not permitted to fail. If you fail, even Satan will be concerned. Because it's abnormal. I mean, there are some things that are shameful. With all the grace you carry, you still fail. It's really shameful, though. How can you carry the potential of a nuclear bomb and die like a knockout? I can't imagine somebody that carried God inside him failing. Is Jesus living in you? So you and Jesus fell, eh? You know, when we're in the campus, any person with us in the campus fellowship leadership that scores below a certain point, we remove him. You can't be a leader failing. How do you show that Christ in you is the wisdom of God if you are taking first from behind? And then you say, I don't know physics, so Holy Ghost doesn't know physics. I don't understand. Mathematics is hard, so Holy Ghost there is scratching the head. He's living inside you. And scratching the head as a mathematics hard though. The God you serve is the all-wise God. In business, the same thing. In relationship, the same thing. This year-year experience you are having is because you have not engaged the God inside you. God is in you, eagerly waiting for you to engage him. But you are too busy with the mentality of the world. You actually think you can make yourself. You are working hard to create your own future. And God is saying, if only he will depend on me and ask me and let me guide him and lead him. All the heartache you have had in life is that you didn't ask questions. The one that knows tomorrow knows a strategy for your next level. You can do a by all means journey and fail, but you can't go with him and fail. Engaging the grace inside you is your surest guarantee that you can't fail. I mean, even in the Old Testament, God told Joshua, he said, if you take this book of the law and meditate on it day and night, you can't fail. In the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, it's not just the book. We have the writer living with us. You are not reading the book trying to understand it. The Holy Ghost is in you. The power of destiny is in you. Sir, anybody that can fail as a Christian has no hope anywhere. Lift your right hand and say, my generation must know that I came. Can I hear your amen?
Amen.
You cannot be anonymous in destiny. You must have a face. You must have a name. And stop running around trying to get a good beer. That is not what handsome means. Handsome means that in your hand there is some. Any man that has nothing in the hand is ugly. But you see, the problem many times is that there are so many myths that hinder us from success. Myths are beliefs that are built on half-truths. One side of it looks real, but when you enter into it, it's not so real. A myth sometimes carries a sense of mystery and a sense of validation, but it lacks foundation. So if you see a myth, when they share a myth, somebody has done something like that, and somebody has done something like that. So it looks as though it's true because somebody, his story looks like that's how it happened. Let me give you an example. When I was teaching pastors, I said to them, many pastors don't know the difference between causation and correlation when it comes to church growth. Causation is what causes something. Correlation is what something is related to. For example, I asked them a question. I say, does prayer grow church? No. But all the churches that are growing, their pastor prays well. Yes. But prayer doesn't grow church. Prayer is correlated to church growth. It doesn't cause church growth. Correlation is what is related to it. If you pray well, God will give you ideas and strategies that you can use to make the thing work. So if you kneel down and all you're praying is, oh God, grow the church, oh God, grow the church, oh God, grow the church, but you're not listening for ideas and strategies, your church will never grow, no matter how many fasting you do. Because you think that the prayer is the solution, the prayer will guide you to the solution. Anybody here seen people that live near where there is bad water, stagnant water, and mosquito is everywhere? If you are living near where mosquito is, does it cause malaria? No, sir. You can live beside a mosquito pond, but if you use mosquito net, it won't touch you, because the only way you get malaria is if mosquito bites you. If the Anopheles mosquito bites you and the Plasmodium enters you, you have a chance of malaria. So you can be living in a bacha. Mosquito is everywhere. You bump Pekin, throw a mosquito net, cover the Pekin. Pekin no go get malaria. Because mosquito doesn't cause malaria. It's mosquito bite. You see, in life, the same thing. There are many things you hear. You don't analyze them well. And you start running with them. And then after some time, you find that it didn't work. And you just say, all this thing is a scam. All of these motivational teachers, all they're talking a scam. You know, Nigerians said motivational speakers. Because there's no young boy in Nigeria who have not tried what a motivational speaker said and it didn't work. He said, just keep declaring it. Just keep declaring it. Just keep declaring it. Haven't you been to church before? They said, just keep declaring it. You have been declaring for 5 years, it didn't work. In fact, in 5 years, all the hair in your hair has disappeared. No, they didn't tell you that there are some other things that go with declaration. They say, so and so confessed like this and it just happened. So with that one story, you think that's how it happened. No, that's not how it works. So I want you to please understand that there are myths about success, whether spiritual success, social success, marital success, and all of that. So a myth will give you an assurance of knowledge, but ends you up with nothing. So you can know something, in quote, but it doesn't work for you. And if I ask you to teach somebody else, you will get up and teach him the meat you learned that didn't work for you. Because you believe you know it, you just think you are unlucky. Look at Matthew chapter 6, 22 and 23 in the New Living Translation. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is what? Look at the next verse. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with what? Look at the next verse. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. When you think you have light and the light you have is actually darkness, your eye, your vision, your understanding is not good enough. He said you are messed up big time. You are badly messed up. You believe it thoroughly. You believe you know it. But what you know is wrong. The eye is bad. Your light is darkness. You are confessing it, but what you are doing is not accurate. Anybody remember the man in the Bible that was blind? And Jesus touched him. I said, can you see anything? And the man said, I see men like trees walking. Jesus said, hey, do you know the bad thing about that kind of situation? You see, any man that is totally blind knows I can't see nothing. So he will ask somebody to lead him. So somebody is leading him and going. But when a man is partially blind and not seeing well, he may think that he can see you and just walk out there, come enter road and can't grab him warm. Because what he is seeing, men don't move like trees and trees know they walk out. The man didn't say, I see men like horses going. He said, like tree. Who told you that tree, the worker? Your blindness too deep. But you see, if you don't know what we're talking about, you can run with the myths you know. That's why a lot of young boys in university, undergraduates, when they are teaching in campus fellowships and all that, they postulate all kinds of things. They blow all kinds of grammar. All those things you knew in campus, now that you're out of campus, how far? That means those things are not real. Or you don't know how to work them. So when we are dealing with success myths, you need to understand half-sight knowledge makes people unteachable. You think you know it, You don't learn. Many of you need to settle down between now and the end of the year and unlearn many things you learned and learn new things that will take you far. Let me pick a few myths. The first one is this: success comes from having big dreams. Success comes from having big dreams. Brothers and sisters, it is essential to have big dreams. But dreams must go with strategy and deadline. Big dreams don't make a man a success. What makes you succeed is the strategy and the deadline you set for your dream. So if you have a big dream, you research your dream, and then you plan directional to your dreams, and then you set out in a small way and start taking the journey. Most people that have big dreams fail waiting to do big things. But if you have a big dream and you break it down into actionable steps, you will find out that you have a dream that will cost $1 billion to do, but you can start with 10,000. Many of you are too big in your eyes to start small because you have a major dream. And brothers and sisters, nobody can live in an architectural drawing. No matter how big the drawing, you must build it to live in it. I was talking to somebody a few days ago. I said, it's okay if you, as a young man in the choir, has a good song you wrote, and you go to the studio and spend $350,000 and bring out an album, and then you sponsor it and you do everything. By the time you are done, it has cost you $2 million to send you out there, and then you blow, you make your money back. But more than 90% of those who do that, it doesn't work for them. Whether it's in church or secular music, more than 90% of those who invest to do that, you know, they hear their music. Some are in debt. Some become thieves. They do all kinds of things to get out there. I was telling the person, I said, let's take another scenario. Let's say this young man is in the choir in the church, and he writes the first song. He sings it in the worship in the church. He does a second one. He does a third one. And suddenly, people are singing his song even without knowing that he's the one. He's not receiving any income from it, but he is building his capacity. After some time, the song has become popular. And before you know it, he has recorded it as singles. It's not having the big dream. It's having a strategy. That's why people fail. I had a young man. He wanted to start a ministry. He came to me. He showed me his plan for ministry. He's renting this thing. He's buying this. He's doing this. He finished. I said, is that all? He said, yes. I said, what do you want from me? He said, I want you to pray for me. I said, I'm going to pray for you. I said, but this is not what makes ministry stand. As I thought, you wanted counsel. He went there. Big hall, big equipment. Hired new staff. Hired this pastor. 5 years working with me. We'll do this. In so and so time, we do this. He was trying to get people that he can use and made all kinds of promises. The church closed in 2.5 years. He didn't understand what this is all about. Big dream. Many of you here have heavy, heavy dreams of what you are going to build that is running to billions. You don't even know how to manage 100,000. Please listen. Not everybody has the creativity. Not everybody has the ability to manage a big thing without training. That business you want to start with 10 million. Show me that with 100,000 you can do something. Show me that you know how to keep even simple record of business. You know what it means to make a profit. Not every year somebody will help you pay rent. Add money for business. I have a big dream. I'm believing God for a ministry that is going to go around the world. I'm still working on it after all these many years. I have a strategy to plant church across Nigeria. Step by step, we are going. There are some people their own. Boom, they exploded. But not everybody has that. What is your strategy for your big dream? Oh, as a young girl, it doesn't matter. You can marry anybody with a big dream. And it has wrecked a lot of people's lives. Because they hear a boy that talks big, big, big. They think that's what we mean by marry somebody with a big dream. His mouth is full of vision, but his hand is full of emptiness. If you want to marry somebody with a big dream, check whether he is where he is now. How productive is he? I told you, from the smell of mess, You know how shit will test. You need to have a big dream, but that big dream must go with a strategy. Somebody say strategy. The second myth I always hear young people talk about is this. The most successful people are those who follow their passion. So follow your passion. What are you excited about? That's what you need to do for life. That's not true, sir. What you're excited about may not give you money. Follow your passion. Follow your passion. That's nonsense motivation. You can follow your passion and die poor. If your passion can't feed you, make your passion a hobby. Am I talking to somebody here today? If your passion can't feed you, make your passion a hobby and go hustle something that can feed you. Since when you were young until now, did you meet anybody that liked football, that was playing football, that wanted football to be his career and became poor with football? How many of you understand that when you see EPL and you see the amount of money that they are earning, that you know that if you check in Africa now, the number of young people who think they can play football, that want to play in EPL, it may be up to 1 million. You check in Europe, check in Korea, in Asia, all of those people want those signings in EPL. And in a year, the whole of EPL may not have up to 120 signings. So this person's whole life is, I must go to Europe, I must play in this club. And there's no opportunity. Because there are about 1 million of you applying for 120 jobs. It is your passion, I understand. But if you are not at the topmost level, find something else that can feed you while working your passion. There are many young people that got up, they want to be Hollywood stars, Nollywood stars, and never got anywhere. Many of them, when they try, it's not working, they start using a shower to get it. They have to sleep with somebody to get a role. And even after that, they pay them 150,000. Come and sit down. Go and sleep with another person, get 150,000 again. But that you are passionate about it doesn't mean it's your career. That you like preaching, that you like church, that you are very prayerful doesn't mean God is calling you. You can enter ministry and die in pain and shame because nobody call you. You answer a call, nobody call. You can be doing your business and have ministry on part-time. There's a man, they call him Carlos Anaconda. Carlos Anaconda was a businessman. In fact, he owned a factory that manufactures roofing sheets and all that. You know what he does? He has money, but he likes preaching. He's not a pastor. Every time, once in a month, he organizes one major crusade, announces it everywhere and all that. The whole stadium, hundreds of thousands. He sends buses everywhere. He has money. Everybody gathers. He mounts a stage, talks very simply, prays a powerful prayer. Blind eyes are open. Lame legs are walking. He finishes. Everybody goes back home. He goes back to his business. I like that kind of pastor. Some years ago, there was this young man, Tim Story. Tim Story was working in Hollywood. He acts, he does some things, and then he pastors in Hollywood. And because a lot of Hollywood actors and actresses are drug addicts and have all kinds of problems, it was easy. They'll come talk to him. He'll talk with them. He'll just lay hand, the person fall under the anointing, pass out, wake up. He will command addiction to go and continues his job with them. You don't have to jump into something that you cannot manage fully. But you can work your passion as a secondary thing. You may not be able to make cloth and make a career out of cloth making. You don't have to start a business with baking if you cannot make it a career. You can make it as an aside and do some other thing. It may be your passion, but it may not be what you can eat with. Am I talking to somebody here? So success is you have to analyze, will this thing give me what I need? Any one of you that is starting a business, whatever you call the business, it must be a business that can feed your family. Because right now, you can make do with 20,000, but very soon, it won't happen again. You acquire a wife. When you acquire a wife and then pickings begin to jump out, that's when you find out that the little money you are making, thinking it was enough, is nothing. Anything you must do on this earth, it must be something that has a capacity for scaling. Something that you can begin at this level and keep taking higher, and keep taking higher, and keep taking higher. If you don't have a capacity to take it higher, don't make it a career, make it a hobby. You must know I am committed to the, I'm growing in it, I'm investing in it. I'm doing my best to be at the topmost top in this thing. When I started preaching, I told you what my wife told me that we are cutting as I'm going to start a ministry. And I told her what God has put in my heart and all of that. We're just walking down there and just talking and all of that. We got to that point and she stopped. Turned to me and said, George, you know I love you. I said, sure, I do. He said, I promise I will marry you. He said, this church you want to start, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, my biggest passion is the word of God. He said, if I marry you and I step into church and you finish teaching and didn't catch anything and I come again, you didn't catch anything, I will be your wife attending another church. So if you know you want to start church, you can't start doing what other people are doing. You must be somebody committed to teaching the word of God. He said, that's my passion. Right on that road, I lifted my hand like I was swearing to God as I vowed to you that nobody will sit down and give me his 2 hours and I waste it. I prepare, I research, I pray, and I make a presentation. The third myth they tell you about success is you don't need to work hard to succeed. You just need to work smart. Have you heard them explain to you what it means to work smart? All the people saying that, have they told you what it means to work smart? Listen, even if you find out what it means to work smart, smart work can give quick results. But it takes working hard smartly to bring mega success. You must work hard. Every one of you who is interested in making your life count, you must be a passionate hard worker. Anybody who likes sleep, who likes watching movie, who likes hanging out, if you meet anyone like that and he succeeds on this earth, come and question my theology. There is no place on this earth for the success of somebody who is lazy. It never has happened before. It won't happen till Jesus comes. Listen, hard work is your way out of pain and shame. There is nothing called sweatless success. Even the man teaching you sweatless success on the pulpit is holding handkerchief. If there is sweatless success, why is he cleaning his face? You will fight it. You will engage it. You will give it your sweat. You will fight until you rise. There is something called gravity. If you can't break gravity, you can't rise. It takes force. Somebody say force. The Bible says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he will stand before kings and not before mean men." You want to pastor a church? Great. You see what we are doing? That's okay. If I ask you now to kneel down here now and just pray in tongues for 7 hours, or 1 hour, okay, 7 minutes, you'll be sweating, but you like pulpit. As you walk into church, it looks so easy. It's all of these pastors, all they do is just open church and then be collecting people money and say it's tight. Listen to me, those people that are saying it, why don't they start it? If starting church and gathering people and collecting their money is easy, start it now. But brothers and sisters, if you sit down with a man of God for 1 week, one of our young pastors the other day came with a young girl. They came. He said, "Pastor, I say, what, who to marry?" I said, "Young girl, sit down." I said, "I want to tell you what it means to be a pastor's wife." And I began to talk to her about what it means to have a husband and not have. Do you know how many nights I used to come here, week by week by week by week? I will come here. And they hang in one of the places up there. And we're crying until I know God helped me. No assistant. Nobody saw me. I'll come there. I'll stay there in the evening. Oh God, you didn't bring me this far to put me to shame. No cup anywhere. Do something before this week is over. You think it happens because I was sleeping and waking up and the people are dashing me money. You gather your salary. You are about to take the salary and do something and all of that. Your wife is excited that somebody dashed your money. And you come back. You say, you know, while I was coming, I met so and so man of God and all of that. And the Lord told me to sow it. He said, "So what? I've sown the salary." Okay, what are we going to eat? We're going to believe God. But brothers and sisters, you didn't know that there's a price to business is expensive. Business will cost you life. If you know anybody who likes to lie down until 8 a.m., 9 a.m., never trust your destiny in the hand of that person. If you know of any young man who says I'm not employed and can sit down in the house until 10 because he's not employed, please don't date him. Please don't relate with him. Please run away from him. That's a casket. Life is about hard work. Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he will stand before kings and not before mean men. If you apply for a job 3 years consecutively and you didn't get a job, sense now enter you that you are not meant to have a job, that you are meant to create one. Am I talking to somebody here? I apply here. I have several whole years wasted. Even if it's to say granted by the roadside, you have succeeded by now. Don't listen to these people talking about smart work. You already have smartness. Put diligence. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. That's what Ecclesiastes tells you. If your hand finds it to do, donate your life to it. Donate your life. Time is passing. Stop telling yourself there is time. You are not young, girl. I started this church before my 25th birthday. You are not young. You are not young. Gateway started before I became 25. You are not young. God busy with your destiny. Stop hanging around and looking for help. Lift your right hand. On the authority of the one that called me, I speak into your destiny. Your generation will hear your voice. Your destiny will not die. If I hear you, you take another portion. The fourth one, it is possible to be an overnight success by faith. That's another myth. It is possible to be an overnight success by faith. And they show you stories of people who just blew, boom, overnight. You can have sudden breakthrough, I know. But it is not success. It's only a platform for success. Sudden breakthrough is not success. Sudden breakthrough is a platform for success. What makes success is the management of that breakthrough. If today, this young man gets out there and does one contract and 20 million comes in, he has not succeeded. He just had a little money, 20 million coming. It may be big to him, but in the schedule of things of life, it is small. The question is, this sudden breakthrough he has, did he have training and preparation and mental conditioning and personal management to be able to take it to another level? Because there are many people you know that broke through once and now they broke down. It's a platform. In ministry, you can do something and then your name comes out. People invite you here. You can do something and they get to know you. But it's a platform. Have you noticed that every time somebody is, in quote, shining, people start inviting him? Let me take an example. You are ministering right now, and people are saying, Kai, testimonies everywhere, and all of that. And before you know it, two things happen. You start living a careless life, and you stop praying. Success enters your head, and your walk with God begins to go down. For some time, you'll be moving around other invitations. But after some time, anywhere you go, there'll be no major testimony. After some time, people get used to you, that you just talk, blah, 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 nothing happened. And they will stop inviting you. And then after some time, it just dies. Before you know it, another phase has come and they've forgotten you. You see, that success must be managed. Anytime you see a man that has been on a journey for 20-something years, he deserves salute. It's not easy to have lasting success. You keep maintaining it, keep maintaining it, keep maintaining it. Anything can have a name. Do you know when we started January to please God? Vigils of death every year. Why? Because you keep investing to make it work better. You keep expecting higher testimonies to come. Sir, listen. Stop expecting sudden breakthroughs. They will come, but they're not success. Success is what you do with the little breakthrough you found. If this man today earns 100,000 naira and starts a business with it, and every month he has 10,000 on it, 10,000 on it, 10,000 on it, in 1 year he has 200 and something thousand. That 200 and something thousand, if he starts adding 20,000 on it every month, before another year, he has 400 and something thousand. If he starts adding 40,000, before another year, he has more than a million. Now, as you are watching him, it looks like he's not going on a journey, but he's going. You saw 1 year, it didn't look much. You saw 2 years, it didn't look much. You saw 3 years, it didn't look much. You saw 4 years, it didn't look much. Until suddenly you saw 10 years. And then suddenly now, he has gotten to a point where you talk about critical mass. It's come to a point where things are going to move by themselves with ease. Something has accumulated in his atmosphere. The rain has gathered as a cloud. That's when you say, we didn't know it will happen, no. I always tell the pastors I minister to. I say, there's something called, I did ministry and God just gave me a breakthrough. There's another thing that's called intentional ministry. Of you taking one step after another, after another, after another. If God called you and you did ministry for 1 year and you didn't see a major breakthrough, calm down. Don't be afraid. Just keep intentionally growing the church. Growing the church. If you had a church of 100 people, you grew it to 150. And then from there to 200. And there to 350. And there 500. By the time you are getting to 10 years, you are close to 1,000. And then suddenly, you have enough people to create a revival. By the next thing, you see a jump. And people say, wow. See what has happened to Gateway in 5 years. Now you look around Port Harcourt, everywhere you come, at Gateway. We didn't see any big breakthrough, but we just kept taking steps, intentionally. So you're here now, and you're looking for how to break through. Start something small and begin to build. Take a step, take a step, and keep going. Before you know it, you look back and say, Kai, is this me? That's how things work. Keep building, All of this, I want a breakthrough, That was has crippled people in church. People are not bold enough to take a journey. They want it now. If it doesn't happen immediately, then it's not God. Calm down. Are there some people you know, maybe your father or your mother or somebody around you, who has never had in their bank account 10 million before, but owns a house? Owns a car, has 3 children in university. You never one day had your father say, we had 1 million. How he was able to buy the land is still a mystery. Step by step, Take the journey. Don't despise the days of small beginnings. Have this consciousness that I am on a journey. And be very, very committed to your journey. Keep measuring your success. Keep taking the steps. Keep telling yourself, this thing, this vision I have, I must achieve it. It will take long, but I will get there. And believe me, what God can do in 5 years will shock you.
In today's fast-paced world, we all need contacts and mentors on social media for inspiration, motivation, and more. You can connect with Pastor George Izunwa on all his social media handles. Follow him on Facebook at Pastor George Izunwa, Instagram and Twitter at George Izunwa. Connect and let's take the journey of greatness together.